Okay, we're now going to read from God's Word. We're going to be reading Psalm 46. I'm going to give you a minute. If you haven't got your Bibles, run, go find them. And, well, I can tell you the page in my Bible is 423, but basically, if you open your Bible in the middle, it's pretty much there. You'll be close. So try that. And if you don't have a Bible, you'll see below there is a link to, so you can see it online, the passage we're doing today. I'll give you one more minute. Okay, we're there? Good. Right, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, and God, the God of Jacob, is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Thanks be to God for his word.
Well, it's the second week in two Psalms of comfort in a crisis. And let me pray as we come to God's word together. Psalm 46, let me pray. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Father God, thank you that again your word does bring light and life into our situations. It speaks the true reality that you're in charge and that you can be our fortress in this time of need. And we pray that your spirit might take your words and bring them to life in our homes all around Norwich and Norfolk this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the thing I've been overwhelmed by or amazed by as I've been studying this psalm this week is the confidence that the psalmists have. It is breathtaking. Have a look at verse 1 and 2. I almost say it's outrageous. Look at this. God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And I guess as we see those words, lots of us will say amen. Of course, God is our ever-present help in time of need, but it's the context within which he says we will not fear. Just look at what he says, verse 2b. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. You know, as I've been reading this, I've been thinking, Sons of Korah, they're the guys who wrote this psalm. Sons of Korah, what are you talking about? Are you saying, are you seriously saying you are not going to fear when the mountains are melting into the sea? Seriously? You know, if a flood was going to come, where would you go for safety? If a flood was coming, you'd go to a mountain for safety. Of course you would, because the mountains are high and they are secure and they are always there. I guess in Norwich, where would we go? We'd probably go up to the prison, which isn't much of a mountain, is it? It's just a hill. But basically, if a flood was to come to Norfolk, we'd all be in a lot of trouble. But he's saying, even if there was a massive mountain that we could flee to, that would not be a place of safety. The flood waters consume this place that we would always look to for safety. This is utterly catastrophic. For those of you who know your Bibles, it's Genesis chapter 1 On day three, the Lord separates out the land from the sea. And what we're seeing in verses 2 to 3 is in judgment, the land and the sea being re-brought together. It is de-creation. It is utterly devastating. But it's not just the sea. See, look at the language in verse 2 and 3 and compare it with the language in verse 6. Let me read verse 6 to you. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. So in verse 2, the mountains are falling. In verse 6, the kingdoms are falling. In verse 3, the waters are roaring. In verse 6, the nations are roaring. The nations are doing what the waters are doing. They are surging and churning and powerfully seem to be out of control. You see, whether it is creation that's going mad, or it's kingdoms and politics that is going mad, or maybe it is your circumstances in your life that make you feel like that the mountains that were the place of security are submerged underwater. Whatever it may be, the sons of Korah here say they do not fear. Why is it that they do not fear? Well, because it is not out of control. It is out of our control, but it's not out of control because God is in charge. Have a look at verse 3 and the contrast with verse 4. See, look at the imagery again in verse 3. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. Verse 3, there's the sea crashing and crushing and swirling. And verse 4, there is this river. Alec Motyer, who is an Old Testament guru, I guess you could call him, a bit of a specialist, he translates verses 3 and 4 like this. Its waters boil up boisterously, mountains shake by its swelling, a river. A river, peace and calm. See, from our perspective, it may look utterly mad. Things look, why is God allowing this? But from God's perspective, it's a calm river. Alec Motyer puts it like this. He says, to the untaught eye, all the unrest, the threatening, the turbulent, but to the instructed eye, verse 4, it sees more clearly. All is ordered by the hand of God, casually doing his will, running his course. See, from our perspective, it may be that we feel like we're on a dinghy and a tsunami is coming. But from God's perspective, it is a row down a gentle, calm river as he is working out his good plans and purposes. What a relief for us. God is in charge. Now, look, we must be praying for Boris. And we must be praying for his scientific advisors for wisdom as they try and make decisions in what is a very challenging time. But praise God that our destiny is not ultimately in the hand of whether some biotechnician can crack the code and generate the right antiviral drug. God's in charge. I was chatting to a friend of mine in Chile. Is a guy called Matt Pope. Some of you know him. He's gone out there to help tell other people about Jesus. And I was on the phone to him this week, and he was saying that he was being reminded of a sermon he'd once heard where the preacher said this. There are thousands of things, there are hundreds of thousands of things that God is doing in our lives right now, and we are probably aware of just three of them. See, God is at work in all these circumstances. God is in charge. There is nothing to fear. It's the same for both us in our lives as it is for the world and what is going on in the world. And we can trust him even in the chaos and the sadness and the loss that this virus is bringing. God is still there. Don't fear. He's good. He's in charge. So that's his first point. Don't fear because God is in charge. But the second point is this. Don't fear because God's city is to come. Again, have a look at verses 4 to 6, 4 and 5. Let me read them. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. You see, he says there is a city that is a happy place to be, verse 4. It's where God dwells. Verse 5, it is a secure place to be. She will not fall. This is a safe and secure city. Now, one of the things we've been learning to do since my children have been home so much is to make sweets safe and secure from the reach of a little three-year-old girl. And our little three-year-old girl has a hankering after these sweets. And we've discovered that the best place to put them is on the highest shelf because she just cannot get there. Even if she loads up the stool and then tries to put something on top of that, she just cannot get to the sweets because they are so high. See, that is the imagery of verses 4 and 5. Here is a secure city that is secure because it is so high. Enemies and evil, however hard they jump and try and get at this city, they will never get there because it is so high, it is so secure, it is so settled. See, this language of this city is the language of a city that God promises us beyond death. It is a city where sin and sickness and death will no longer be a part of life. It's what the Bible calls heaven, or the new heavens and the new earth. And he says that city to come is secure. Now, I guess for lots of us, the mountains that we rely on have been shaken, haven't they? And I guess for lots of us, we'd say, yeah, God is my hope, but I'm quite glad I've got my health. God is my hope, but great, I've got my job. God is my hope, plus whatever it may be. And actually, as our mountains that so often we look to have been shaken and maybe driven into the sea, we've been reminded that our only place for true hope and security is not things in this world. The coronavirus has reminded us that this world will not always be here. There will be an end. But actually, God here is saying he and his plans and his security, the uncreated creator of the universe, the one who is actually permanent, unlike everything else here, the one who is there at the beginning and has no end, has no beginning, has no end. He is the place of security, and he is the one who is bringing an eternal happy kingdom. Do you want to be part of it? The secure city, do you want to be part of it? Well, he says, don't fear because God's in charge. Don't fear because the city is to come. And thirdly, don't fear because Jesus has come to bring us to that city. Verses 8 to 11 in this psalm are an invitation to us. Have a look at verse 8. Come and see what the Lord has done. Here's the invitation. Come and see. And what has he done? Verse 8. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. You see, here is God giving us a picture of what will happen at the end of human history. Now, in Israel's history in the Old Testament, you'll see time and again where God rescued his people from enemies and they were disarmed. And he's saying those little pictures, they are little snapshots of what will happen at the end of human history as all warring will be stopped. The Trident program will no longer be needed. There will be no need to fear the terrorist splinter cell because all weapons will be downed. There'll be total disarmament. And people will bow the knee before the one who actually reigns Verse 10, have a look at it. He says, be still, know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. He's saying that will be the day where every kingdom and king will bow the knee before me and stick down their guns. And so what does he call us to do? See that day, and verse 10 is an instruction to us. He says, be still and know that I am God. Now, I'm aware that for loads of us, we'll hear that language of be still, and it'll remind us of an 80s classic chorus. For others of us, we'll have in our mind, be still and know that I am God. It's like one of those posters with a verse on with a kitten playing with some wool. Be still and know that I am God. But actually, we totally misunderstand the meaning of it in this context. You see, when he says, be still, it is a call to put your arms down now. It's a call to say, stop monkeying around thinking you're in charge. You are not. Come to me now for forgiveness. Come to Jesus now for peace. Put your arms down and come now before it's too late. See, the truth of the matter is, not just the nation's war against God, we all do in our hearts, we all live in his world, and we don't want to do things his way, and it's like we've got our gun up at God and saying, get lost, I want to do things my way. And he says, stick the weapon down, come for forgiveness, allow me to be your king, allow me to make you ready for the eternal kingdom. Now, here's a question for you. This language of be still, verse 10. Those of you who are regulars here at Surrey Chapel, what does that remind you of in the New Testament? What story does that those two words, be still, remind you of from the New Testament? And let me help give you a clue. Verse 2 and 3, what is going on? In verse 2 and 3, a massive storm. What does it remind you of? I hope you're shouting at the TV now. And I think that's right. I just heard someone say, Jesus calming the storm with the disciples in the boat. In Mark chapter 4, you're going to be studying it in a few weeks' time in Connect groups. Jesus is on a boat. There's a massive storm. The disciples, who are fishermen, think they are going to drown. Jesus is asleep. They wake up Jesus and say, do you not care that we are going to drown? And Jesus wakes up and he stands up and he rebukes the wind and he says, quiet, be still. And there is this calm. There's a calm apart from in the disciples who are actually more terrified of Jesus than they were of death. See, Jesus in that moment is not just showing us that he is in charge of nature. He is giving us a picture of what it will be like on that final day, the day of account, when he will come back and he will say, be still, and all the weapons will be on the floor and all of us will be on our knees on the floor. He is giving us a picture so we can see that he is the one who will bring that day. And he is warning us, he is encouraging us, be ready now. I'm the one who will come and say, be still, be ready now. See, the glory of this psalm is that as we come to Jesus and we allow him to be king and we put our arms down, he, the one who will say, be still, who will calm all the storms, calm all the troubled nations, he promises to be with us. Just look back at verse 1. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. He's an ever-present help. Verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. Verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us. See, this week, as you go into your week, and who knows what's going to come up this week and the challenges of this week, what is the promise of Jesus for all who trust him? Yes, God is in charge. Yes, he is. There is a secure city to come, but he's got everything in his power to help you to get there, both to forgive your sins and to be with you in the day-to-day pressures and strains. See, don't fear because God's in charge. Don't fear because God's city is to come. And don't fear because God sent Jesus to get us to the city. Let's bow our heads for a moment. And why don't you talk to God about something that struck you this morning, something that you want to think about, something you want to ask Him for help with. Let me lead us in prayer. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Father God, we thank you that we have nothing to fear about today, because ultimately we are absolutely secure in Christ. Father, thank you that we don't need to fear the coming day of judgment. Thank you that even in the midst of crisis and the waves of human history that seem to be engulfing us, Father, thank you that you are the one secure place of hope. And may we come to know that in an ever more real way in Christ today. In Jesus' name, amen.